Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week it's Geeks Destroying the World. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com.
Hey,
hello, my geeklings!
Yet another episode of Geeks On.
Geeks On.
This is a long hiatus.
Doom and gloom episode.
Yes.
Doom!
So first of all, I've got to apologize. It has been a little while. It's also been a little while since we've updated our site. I can only say that it is twins. It's been 6 months. My kids are coming up on 7 months now.
Wow.
And finally, do you hear this? Able to take a breath.
Wow. Your kids are 7 months old?
Seven months
my
old.
My kid's almost two.
I know. Your birthday's coming up.
Yeah. It has been serious insanity. My kids got helmets the other day. They've got little weird-shaped
like
heads.
Pudding caps?
Because they're differently able.
Not like pudding caps.
Like they got flat...
They have flat heads.
Flat heads. So they got helmets.
And they need helmets.
So now they look like little, like...
Pudding caps.
Can we call them Tweedledee and Tweedledum now?
You can call them anything you
want. No, you can't call them Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
But they have little caps.
Jack and Kate is not enough to call them.
Well, okay, they are destined to fall in love with each other in a tragic romance, but...
Oh, you lost me there.
Too far?
All right, introduce yourself. And speaking of Game of Thrones, I'm Matt. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
I'm Aaron Hendricks. I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
I'm Peter Robinson. I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
I'm Don Marshall.
And you are broken.
We broke myself.
We broke Don.
And I am a video game professional and writer in sunny Hollywood, and I, too, am a geek.
Has everyone heard about Don? Don posted it on his Facebook page, but has everybody heard about the fact that Game of Thrones is having the food truck?
Yeah. Yes. Game of Thrones food truck tomorrow.
Wait, whoa. Where?
Here, L.A. I don't know where yet.
It's been in New York, I think last week it was in New York.
Okay, well, tomorrow it starts in L.A.
I'm terribly intrigued because he makes me hungry.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm reading.
Yeah. George R. R. Martin, the writer of these books, has the best descriptions of food ever.
Yeah. I mean, he really does.
Without being overly florid about them either.
No.
It's just like, okay, here it is. Oh, I want some.
You know, like, yeah. I want some bread and mutton now.
Bacon,
they're making
dripping.
The signature dish at all of the trucks is lemon cakes.
Oh.
As per the series.
Oh, that's cool.
There is yet no eel pie. But I want to try the eel pie. I do want to try the eel pie. But tomorrow...
and Tom Colicchio is running it, right?
It's secret where it goes, but eventually they do... Like, after they've been there for a little while, they Twitter where they are. Mm-hmm.
So, what we should do is we should just search Twitter right away, because people are going to be twitting themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
probably.
I just went to... They're going to be bragging, so that's the best way to kind of...
Some people pay good money to watch that.
I had some lemon cakes. I can't wait for the pilot. I think I'm going to have a little viewing here.
I think if anybody wants to come over, we need to have a little viewing party.
You mean in front of your wall-sized screen, Aaron?
Exactly.
With surround sound? No.
Exactly.
No. I will never do such a thing.
I'll let you guys know.
So wait, has his new book been released yet?
No.
June 19th, I want to say, is the estimated release date. He's doing it directly in conjunction with
I'm pretty
with
sure
the
I bought advanced copies of Friends like for Friends like years ago.
Oh, really?
I think so.
You're like... Well, back 2 years ago,
yeah, and
it was
no
like,
idea
oh,
anymore.
It'll be out in 6 months.
The other book that has actually now been released is Wise Man's Fear by Patrick Rothfuss, who wrote The Name of the Wind.
The continuation of The Name of the Wind.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Right. I am the one geek
who did not like the book.
Hmm.
I really like the book, and I'm reading the second one, and so far I'm just... Yeah, I'm only a couple pages in, but I'm really enjoying it.
Are you reading it, or are you listening to it, reading it?
I actually bought this book.
You actually decided to turn
now,
pages.
For people who don't know, like, just as crazy as life is these days, a lot of times I have to listen to books on tape because it's the only way I ever have time to get any quote-unquote reading done.
Well, you're doing it while you're moving. So,
right. You know. I'm in the car. I'm doing something, you know, because I just don't have any time anymore.
Peter is Johnny Multitask, right?
But this book... deserve to be read in paper.
Analog.
Will you do analog for George R. R. Martin's book as well?
Probably. We'll see. You know, I don't have an iPad.
Well,
so
the thing is
that
the George R. R. Martin audiobooks are so good.
They are awesome.
The narrators they got for that are fantastic.
The guy who did the fourth one is not the same as the guy who did all the other ones.
Okay,
he's
good.
The
first three.
He's okay. But the first three, the guy who did the first three is freaking
I wonder if
great.
That's purposeful, because when I read the fourth book, I was like, the fourth book isn't as good as the other three.
I really like the fourth book. I think
too.
You guys prepped me to. Yeah. I was thinking of hating it. And
well, keep in mind, the fourth book returns to specific characters, not the full roster.
Yeah,
and if they're not pulling out the characters
you
love.
The fifth book.
The fifth book, excuse me. Yeah. No, fourth book.
No, it's Game
Which is
of,
the one that just
Game of Thrones,
fourth book
Clash
came
of
out
Kings.
Last.
Yeah, so fourth book.
Yeah.
The fifth book is the second half of the storylines from the
fourth
book.
The fourth book. Right.
So that one also
I think that's BS. After 3-4 years of it coming out, it's another book.
Yeah, of course.
If you had the other
but,
half
but
in
this
the wings,
is the first book that coexists in the same time frame.
Right.
You know, so in that level, yes, it is the second half.
Yeah.
But it'll have Tyrion and Dany in it.
Yeah.
Which is what Tyrion's awesome. Aaron's been waiting for.
You know, I love Tyrion, but Daenerys was definitely one of the characters I never expected to love.
Really? Actually, one I never thought I would love is Jaime Lannister.
Yeah.
Oh, no, on board with that.
He's great. Jaime Lannister has become not necessarily my favorite character, but... No, I spoil nothing. But he's not necessarily become
it
my
just,
favorite.
Just
character.
But we're discussing that, characters in the present tense in a series where people drop like flies.
True.
So,
true.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Read the books.
Or watch the series. All right. We this has to be kind of a quicker episode, so we need to get to it.
Two of the geeks are going to see Sucker Punch today.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
And apparently we're going to be sucker punched.
So. Yes. We know it's supposed to be bad, but I want to just see
it's
what the visuals
are. It's supposed to be visually breathtaking.
I'm sure it's very pretty.
That's what I want to see it for.
In story, it's supposed to just be...
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
It will be a very, very nice music video.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to let my brain go and eat some popcorn.
It sounds great.
Yeah,
sounds exactly.
With lots of hot
chicks. Shall we do some geek news?
Geek news and slash reviews and slash other things we've done.
Slash.
Okay.
Well, I've got two news stories that are going to be the bridge into our topic today. So
why don't you
I will
go
defer
last.
Until that.
All right.
Can we talk about the board game that you and I have played recently?
I think we can.
There's a new board game by Fantasy Flight Games called Mansions of Madness.
Wow.
This is another H.P. Lovecraftian horror madness game that they love to put out.
Unlike most of the other Lovecraft games that have come out there, like the card game or the Arkham Horror, this one is significantly simpler, though. This one is simplified to a much more, not introductory level, but closer to introductory level.
Yeah, I would say much more. The problem is Arkham Horror is so complex and fiddly, and there's so many little bits now that's just on another scale.
Yeah.
Right? So this is still, I wouldn't put this up as a beginning type game because it's still, you know, relatively complex. But compared to Arkham Horror, this thing is... way easier.
Okay. And still fun.
I have played it once and I screwed it up. We still had fun, but I kind of messed the game up.
Messed the rules up?
Here's the thing
about
this game.
Why does this happen with you?
Well, no, I didn't really mess the rules up that much. The game is super story driven.
Okay.
Which is one of the very cool things about the game is that it has... five scenarios within the scenarios, there's several choices that you make. And there's that one person who plays the house, the game master.
Okay.
And he creates this little mini story by kind of answering some questions secretly at the beginning of the game.
Hmm.
Like, where the person who owns this mansion, where did he bury his wife?
Okay.
And you choose, and you answer these questions. And then the story, you pick certain cards that relate to those answers.
Okay. Are they multiple choice answers?
Yes.
Okay.
Then the players enter this mansion and they uncover these clues that are specific to those questions. So they actually uncover real clues.
Oh, that's fun.
That is pretty fun. Now, if you screw that little setup up, if you're the game master and you've kind of screwed put the wrong cards in the wrong place just by
Aaron.
It's very easy to do in this game.
Sadly it is.
Then you can screw this game up.
Oh, so you
so
got
So they
about-
can like, where's this clue? Or where what ha you know
The
clue card's not in this room or whatever. I didn't do that. I did this one small thing that just kind of made it kind of frustrating for the players a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don has also played it.
Yeah, I've played it through completion correctly.
how dare you?
I'm to tell you the truth, I am not overly impressed with this game. Mm-hmm. To me, it felt a little lackluster. It felt I didn't feel like I won, and I didn't really feel any significant victory.
Okay, because it was too easy. Maybe
I just didn't feel connected to the game. I wasn't really like I wasn't stressing on strategy. It was just sort mm-hmm. of like okay, you do this, and it should probably work, and it worked. So I'm done. Mm-hmm. You
know? For those who don't know, Don is the godfather of strategy.
Yes.
He's like the evil genius that you're up against, always wondering how he's going to get you at the end.
Yes,
you know it's going to happen. You're not quite sure how, but well, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it does.
I would fit this in into the kind of like. I would fit this into the talisman.
We broke Don again.
I would fit this into the talisman. You play it to tell a story.
Yes.
Game like okay. Talisman. Yes. You're not. You know. Oh God, I figured this game out.
To be honest, though, like having played not Mansions of Madness, the House on Haunted Hill
yeah.
game. I prefer that one significantly.
Oh, really?
Hmm. With that one, you don't know who the... It's a very similar setup where you're exploring a haunted mansion.
Mm-hmm.
In that one, the mansion is not fully constructed. You construct it as you play.
Right, right.
But as you reach the end of the game, you discover which of the players is the villain. Mm-hmm. And that person at that point figures out what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how well they did up to that point... You may be ass out of luck, or you may just slaughter everybody else, depending on how well you've played
right.
to them.
Hmm. This one has some interesting elements that have been people have said they liked or didn't like. It's kind of split down the middle. They have these little mini puzzles, which seems like a kind of a cool idea. I'm not sure how they're really panning out. But if you come up to a locked door, they have these little mini puzzles that you bring out that you have to like figure out the puzzles to actually unlock the door.
Hmm.
Almost like BioShock. Remember, you had to make the tubes all flow. It's that type of thing. You kind of rotate the tiles in order to make the tubes kind of flow together. That type of stuff.
And cool.
It's an interesting idea.
So, buy or no buy?
For me, no buy.
Don, no buy. Aaron,
I need a couple more. I would say buy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I played another board game worth bringing up at this point, which is the new Dungeons and Dragons board game, the Ravenloft board game.
Okay.
This one is a new co-op board game.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. For up to 5 players to play together. I think a minimum of 3. It could probably do 2, but
I think you can
bother.
Play. I thought you could play 1, but
maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But long story short, in my opinion, it felt very much like playing a very basic game of Dungeons and Dragons with absolutely no role playing involved. You know, just sort of wandering around a dungeon, killing things with your character, and improving your character with experience points.
Anybody has played Descent,
yeah,
it's kind of got that flavor to it.
It's almost like Descent Light in some ways.
Right. It's very yeah. – and the cool thing is that you don't need the dungeon master. Like everyone plays yes. co-op, so the game cool. just works against you.
Which that's definitely kind of, a plus.
Yeah. So,
but mm-hmm. there is the big problem I had with the game was that the gameplay felt very sort of formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
In that every turn, if you don't do this, this will happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, A always equals B. You know,
right.
B always equals C.
Is there a way that yeah. They could change that through expansions, or is
most
that
likely,
built into the
I
rule?
Think when you look at the game and you just look at the tiles they're putting out, like they're already they have expansions in mind clearly.
Yeah, in fact, there's a new one that just came yeah. out. I think
because there are markings on the board that don't mean anything yet. So
okay.
it's like, duh, you know, expansion coming.
All right. So, in today's installment of This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things news, The Source, the official blog of the DC Universe, has closed down their comments section following a brief but intense flame war that broke out on a recent post and spiraled into personal attacks against readers, creators, and members of the DC Comics staff.
Wow.
Wait, there's okay. a flame war on the internet?
Well, yeah, but it got so bad that they had to shut down the website.
How did you know? Why the website? Why okay. not just the forum or something?
As for what possibly could have inspired so much anger from the readers that The Source had to lock the whole site down to keep things from getting worse, well, it won't surprise anyone who has spent more than 5 minutes reading any given forum on the internet that the vitriol was based on a subject of absolute life or death.
Who could
importance.
Kill who?
It's got to be Wonder Woman's costume.
No, who would win the fight? Right?
What do you think, Pete?
I have no idea.
Who runs faster, Superman
wow!
or The Flash?
Wow.
Shut it down.
I mean, duh, it's The Flash.
oh,
I thought it was,
no.
Duh.
No, it's Superman.
Duh. Oh, I will cut you.
Okay, you have to see.
Wait, runs faster.
They have this lovely picture associated with it of Superman clawing at Flash's neck in a desperate attempt to reach him.
Because they've had that. I think they've had the race in a comic.
They have. Yeah. They have. But
how did the race end in the comic? I don't remember.
I believe Flash won right? by an iota, but it was because Superman had to do something.
Yeah, Superman had to stop and save him.
He had to like drop
something.
Drop a deuce before he.
Finish the
race. That's the thing, though. Like, Flash's one power is being
Let him
be best at that, you know?
Yeah, why does Superman have to have the best of everybody's superpower?
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever watch the 50s Flash TV show? It seemed like every other week he had a new superpower.
Wait, the 50s?
Wait, 50s you mean, with you George Reeves?
Oh, you mean Superman.
You mean the 50s Superman.
Superman, yeah.
Superman. Flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
Superman.
I was like, there was a Flash thing, but it wasn't the 80s or 90s, yeah. Yeah, George Reeves. Yeah. I used to watch that all the time.
I remember watching an episode where he learned to phase through walls.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing.
Well, they did that in the movies.
Well, yeah, the amnesia kiss.
Yeah, amnesia kiss. You had a, I mean,
we always do our best to forget those moments, though.
Yeah.
Superman kiss you then.
It's wonderful. But in the article, which I will post to our website, people should check it out. Some of the flames are fantastic. Some of the flames are really, just read one
so we have a sense of it. Give us a flavor.
Where the beep is Aquaman, that beeping beep. I think Flash is fastest than Superman.
Fastest than Superman?
Yeah, and it goes from there. It's marvelous. It's the grammarian, you know, coming in on people and basically correcting them over who's faster, Flash or Superman. It just gets better and better.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a laugh.
Do you have a new story? Or?
I don't have a new story.
Okay. Now this has not been confirmed, but I think this is so interesting. I think it was the New York Times actually originally posted this. Apparently, China has these, you know, obviously sensors, but apparently they've got this mega censorship thing going over the cell phones that a Beijing entrepreneur discussing restaurant choices with a fiancé over their cell phones last week quoted the Hamlet. The lady doth protest too much, methinks. The second time he said the word protest, the phones got cut.
Wow.
Now, that's some crazy shit right there.
Well, I mean, so we're in the time, to sort of pin us down, we're in the time where basically the Arab states are revolting. The Arab states are revolting. Sorry.
The Persian ones ain't so hot either.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're going crazy, right?
Uh-huh. And what's the first thing they do?
Well, they shut down the internet and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But which I think is absolutely the worst thing to do. They should just open up the internet wide and just like release all the porn sites, and you would have half of the 26-year-olds on, you know, not
instead of going on the streets or jerking off on the rooms. God, it's
exactly.
Could you imagine the aneurysms that would just break out across the
exactly.
Like, oh, my God, ankles!
Anyway, there was this wonderful article that talked about what China had done as soon as they found out that all these protests were going on across the Middle East. And they were saying that it was like watching kids deal with, you know, totalitarian regime kids dealing with, you know, as opposed to China, which is the totalitarian regime parent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're saying when they found out that there were going to be specific protests in specific areas of Beijing, they didn't make a big thing. They didn't come out. They didn't stomp. They didn't, you know, put anything out on the TV. It just happened to be that those streets were blocked because they were just getting fixed that day.
Right.
And if you happen to be a foreign national or a foreign journalist at that time, it was strange, but there were all of these wonderful people giving out coupons and taking you out for tea.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was it. Anybody who was a foreign journalist in that region just happened to be taken out for tea on that day.
That wasn't a hardcore protest.
Well, they were saying that there were literally like 20,000 to 30,000 people that were going to be doing these multiple location protests all over China. Yeah, and it just happened that those things were shut down.
I'm curious if Twitter exists in China. Because a lot of these other areas have been shut down because of Twitter, where they weren't able to stop the protest because as soon as somebody retwitters where the new place is going to be,
I'm quite sure that
I want to say yes down. Because I've seen a friend of mine who's Chinese speaking to one of his friends on Twitter in China. But on the other hand, there was also a post on Reddit where a guy said, "I'm sorry, I'm in China. I don't have Twitter." So I don't know. I've seen evidence of both.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
We'll check on that.
I was reading about a woman that showed up at a Libyan press conference.
Oh, I saw that footage.
And
Oh, God.
Basically said that she had...
she'd been raped.
She'd been raped by the police.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how it was so interesting how suddenly security comes rushing in and about half the people that had been serving them turned out to be security as well.
Whoops.
You know, and it was... It sounded...
Yeah, they smashed all the cameras.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
pretty quick.
But they should have smashed them all because, man, that got on the internet.
It got out.
Yeah. Holy crap.
I didn't see the footage. I just read about it.
Oh, it's awful.
It's awful.
Yeah. All right. Any more?
Why don't we bring up a quick mini topic that's currently in the news? This was not pre-planned, but I think it broke out in such an argument on the Geeks on Facebook page that it's worth bringing up here. Most people...
Flash versus Superman worthy?
Most people have seen the internet viral video now.
The bully beatdown.
The bully beatdown.
Yeah.
Freaking great.
Casey... Well, hold on. Let's maintain neutrality for a moment. Where basically to sum
Casey,
up the video
Casey
real quick,
Haynes, right?
Casey Haynes. Yeah.
Casey Haynes.
Yeah.
We'll put a link to it on our website. Yeah. On our website.
I posted the video on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. And long story short, he's sort of a bigger kid. Mm-hmm. He's definitely a fatter kid.
Yeah.
And older than the bully. I think he's 15 to the bully's 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And the bully is standing in front of him. He hits him in the face.
Hard.
Hard. Not like a little poke. He hauls off and punches him.
Yeah, that's how it starts. And it's not like he walks up to the kid. The kid doesn't even know it's coming and just
socks
him.
Well, we assume that's how it
starts. We assume. We don't.
Yeah. That's how
we don't know what happened right
that's how it looks.
Video.
It's coming.
Yeah. The big kid takes it and doesn't move. The guy tries to punch him in the face again. The bullied kid just blocks it. The bully starts getting all like, I'm so happy with myself and loving life. And he starts doing the little happy boxer dance thing.
Yeah.
Punches the big kid in the stomach twice. At which point, something just snaps in the big kid. He rushes forward, grabs the bully, lifts him freaking over his head, and pile drives him face first into the concrete.
No. Not face. That's not correct.
Well, he paled.
He was face down.
No. He was face down onto the concrete.
He was.
No, he does not. His head does not smash into the concrete.
Luckily,
that's not for lack of trying.
Yeah. No, he picks him up and he throws him to the ground.
Yeah.
Okay,
he gets body slammed.
But he gets body slammed.
He gets body slammed, and his leg—you can see his leg—smacks right into a raised lip of
brick divider.
Yeah, brick divider. Right? Yeah.
So the bullied kid, you know, like now I'm describing what I saw, but I'm also possibly describing this a little bit of my own bias. Mm-hmm. The bullied kid stands there and looks at him, but does not pursue it.
Right.
Right.
And walks off. I think.
The little kid gets up and starts laughing.
He doesn't. He's
weaving back and forth.
Oh, I don't think he's laughing. I think he was laughing.
He was doing the dumbass, I'm a bully that just got the snot beaten out of me. Aren't I cool? Laugh.
Yeah, he's trying to save face by laughing.
At which point, one
hurt.
Of the other kids that had been off screen cheering the bully on starts advancing on the other bully.
And then
kid
a teacher
again.
Breaks it up.
No, at which an older class girl. Older
oh, that
class
was an
girl,
old classic girl?
Not a teacher.
Oh, really?
She finally steps in and breaks it up.
Oh, okay.
So, long story short, this internet video goes out. The world takes notice. And it seems like 98% of the world is really cheering on the bullied kid and his act of, as I would say it, his act of defiance. Mm-hmm. As other people have said it, his brutal act of violence.
Yeah.
So, thoughts. I mean, my opinion of this one is the bullied kid was hit in the face, did not respond. Was hit in the face, attempted to be hit in the face again, did not respond.
Which is
hit
why
the stomach, did not respond.
Which is why I posted the second video, which was actually an interview with the bully. And he said, look, this kid, because I thought the video of the bullied kid was quite compelling. And he was basically like, look, I've had years of this being done to me. He was very articulate.
Yeah.
And he seemed very straightforward about saying, I don't know what happened, you know. Mm-hmm. Either he was coached...
But that he didn't feel bad
either
about
he was
it.
Coached quite well. He did not feel bad about it at all. Either he was coached quite well or he just really was feeling these things very deeply and very clearly.
On the flip side.
Yeah, on the flip side, I posted the video of the bully, and the bully said, look, this kid does the same things to me.
No.
And
no, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, he said
he calls me names.
He says he calls
me
names.
And he says, get to class, stupid, or something.
Yeah.
He never claimed that he hit him.
No. He didn't. No. I'm saying but the bully claimed that this kid, you know, called him fatty as well. And it was
his
name.
His parents didn't believe that. His parents were like, oh, I'm ashamed. I wish he hadn't done that.
Right.
That little snot.
Well,
again, my own personal bias, watching the video. I don't believe squat the bully said.
Right. Yeah,
I don't believe a word of it because all the bullies I know when I was a kid always claimed that they were the victim.
But the conversation on the website was not whether he was bullied or
exactly.
not. The conversation was...
Josh Pelton brought up some very, very good points.
No, he didn't. Okay. He brought up some points. He brought up some points, but none of them were really good. He did not like the fact that the kid responded with violence.
Yes, true.
I totally get that is an easy reaction.
No, it wasn't that the kid responded with violence.
It was that the kid overreacted.
No,
was,
he had a problem
well, he
with
said
the,
that, too.
He had a problem with the fact that people were treating this act as heroism.
Yes.
Oh, and I actually agree with him on that. I think
it's heroism. Why is not standing up for yourself heroism?
Because he thinks that you should have the presence of mind within the moment to treat the situation proportionally. He does not think that being slammed face down onto the ground.
That kid should do everything to stop.
Granted, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Hold on.
Here,
now, you know, in my position, the bully responded with physical reaction. To a physical attack in the environment of the bully's choosing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's the bully's fault.
Yeah, it's the bully's fault here. The bully got himself hurt.
Well,
however, the term heroism, however, the term heroism, let me just bring up real quick that I believe it's not heroism.
Okay.
Right? I believe it is a very strong, courageous act. But to me, heroism would have been one of the other students stepping up, to defend someone who was
I brought this up on here. If a girl was standing next to the kid who was being bullied, okay, and she was the one being bullied, and he did the exact same thing to protect her, would he be a hero?
I would say yes, that is heroism because you are taking on danger that is not yours.
But
defend someone else. To me, that's heroism.
Yeah, but you should have the same pride about defending yourself as anybody. So
I agree.
Just as heroic.
You should have pride, but it's not heroism.
All right.
Perhaps semantics.
I think anytime you stand up to injustice, whether it's injustice against someone else or injustice against yourself, that is heroism.
And not only that.
I think if you're doing it for yourself, I mean, the motives are different.
Look.
Because it's self-protection. It's survival.
No, look, the kid could have... He could have taken a couple punches and walked away, which is what a lot of people would have done,
and
defused it.
Yeah.
You would have gotten punched again. I think any time that
for 3 years.
It takes an incredible amount of bravery to stand up to that.
All right.
Then how do you further aggrandize the selfless action of somebody to take on those same threats when they don't have to?
Call it heroism as well.
Well, okay.
Degrees of word then. Because
right.
For
that's
me,
fine.
It's
yeah,
self-preservation.
Of course.
If the kid
I'm
was flipped
fine.
In a different direction and his rather than his ankle coming down on the edge of the thing, his forehead came down on the edge of the thing, the kid would be dead.
Well, here's...
Hold on. This is a good question. This is a good thing and a good distinction. Okay. So I think him standing up for himself is heroism.
Okay.
Okay. I think that there is another principle that comes in, which is... using the appropriate response, the appropriate amount of force in response.
And this is actually what I had a problem with because having been in that situation and having reacted very strongly in my own individual situation, I don't know whether or not I have not had the presence of mind in those individual situations to hold back my beat the crap out of you reflex.
Yeah, but his job was to stop himself getting hit again, and he did that. He stopped it. That's his only job.
And the thing
he's not
is,
to, he's not he's not mm. There's no justice going on here. He's not going, you know what? I got hit twice, so the appropriate response is to hit him twice.
Actually,
I'm stopping this now.
Yeah, I actually think that's more malicious.
Fuck you.
I actually think that's more malicious to actually have the presence of mind to go, okay, he did this, therefore my response is blah.
Do you think Krav Maga is evil then?
Oh, no, I don't.
Because
isn't
Krav Maga an entire martial art form that is designed to break your arm so you can't hurt
anymore? It's about lethality. But that's also an Israeli martial art about that's an Israeli commando martial art.
It's also not a minority tactic in a lot of martial art forms. Right.
A lot of
martial art forms are about putting your ass down so you can't hit me again.
I mean, for this, we can go back and forth on the morality of it, but there are two questions which I thought needed to be brought up, it was already 75 comments in.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't want to keep on going.
It was a spirited debate.
If this was a girl who was, let's say, a girl the same size, a big girl, the same size as Casey, right? Mm-hmm. And this little tool was trying to rape her, would we be having this conversation?
We would not, but I'd be having the same conversation. But what you're saying, you're comparing bullying to rape, which are two degrees.
Yeah. They're two degrees, but they're both violations of space.
Me standing too close to someone is a violation of space. Doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, they're... You're comparing two things.
In other words, if he held a gun to him, then we wouldn't have to be...
You are comparing two things that are so atrociously different as to destroy any... rational comparison.
Okay, so if he was just bullying her, had they been trying to hack him
with machetes and he did the same thing, we would have been fine with it as well. But they're two entirely different things.
All right, can we move this to the website?
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say I do think he showed restraint.
Okay.
I think
you do.
I do. Listen,
I think he snapped.
I think he kept going.
Well, what I'm saying is he could have kept going.
I think he snapped. Having been somebody who snapped, I think he snapped and came to. And that's it. He became a different human being for a few seconds and slammed that kid to the ground because he had had enough. When he realized what he had done, having knocked somebody out accidentally when I was about his age, you go, oh, crap, what the hell did I just did? You're not going, You're going, oh, my God, the kid can't move. Did I just kill somebody? And he snapped to for a second. And then went, oh, God, I need to deal with it.
I think he may have done that, but there are other people in other circumstances would have kept going. I think he showed restraint.
Yeah, because now all of a sudden he has the advantage over someone who has been tormenting him. And from his story, part of a group that's been tormenting him for years.
True.
So, yes, he held restraint. He didn't push the point when he finally was in a position where he had the upper hand.
He could have stopped
that. We also don't know who was off camera.
We need to move this to the website. This is a great discussion.
Yeah, it was a great discussion. And we should also combine a few of these because now we have to figure out, you know, now let me pose another question. Did Casey do this? Did he snap? Did he go this far because he plays Halo? Because I think...
All right, so you're leading into our topic.
I'm leading into our topic.
Let's break for a moment and save.
All right, so leading into our discussion.
All right, yeah, so did Casey do this because he played Dungeons & Dragons?
Right.
Well, we can't really make any assumptions because we don't know anything about
him. I think he did.
The discussion today is... blaming geeks for society's problems, which has happened.
Meaning specifically Dungeons and Dragons, movies, video games, comic books, all of it.
Yes.
Right.
You know, in the 1970s, when some of us were growing up, and the 1980s, I remember a lot of murders that were blamed on people playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A couple suicides, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. During the 90s...
Famous church track...
So the Chick Tract.
The Chick Tract, yeah.
Oh,
the
famous Chick Tract. Love that thing.
Depicting satanic worship and suicide.
Dungeons? Is that what it was called?
Yes.
Something like that. Dungeons and Dragons causing teenagers to worship Satan and commit suicide.
Right. Yeah, she started off as just a dark cleric.
Having achieved eighth level as a cleric, Cindy Lou is now allowed to take the role as the High Grand Priestess of the Witch's Coven.
Right.
which made me go, wow, this witch's coven has really, really low standards.
At 8th level, she can
really
only cast 5th level spells. To be a high witch in a grand coven, you have to at least be able to cast level 7.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly how far back this really goes. I know for a fact that comic books has got this years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you'd swear to God some of the, you know, there were laws about ready to be passed. You know, in fact, everybody's seen that little weird code on the front of a comic book, which is a...
Like a decency code?
Yeah, it's like a little decency code.
What it's called.
There's a decency code? I learned that there's a decency code on the front.
Yeah, it was founded in the 1960s. It was really powerful through the 1990s, and then it sort of reduced in its power over the past 10 years or so.
Yeah, but it was it's like the rating system. It's a self-governing
system.
Like, I was actually just reading something that one of the Geeklings posted, the history of Wonder Woman's costume, right?
Okay.
Where you can see, actually, every time the comic's decency becomes an issue, her bustier loses more shape and goes from being sort of boob-shaped to a flat,
straight
thing around her chest. And her leggings go from shorts to skirt to bathing suit to French cut thong.
Right.
And back to
skirt.
Yeah, back to skirt, depending on what the current levels of decency are.
Well, we're at pants right now.
Yeah.
So
what does that say?
We're at threat level pants, people. We need to get that back to thong.
I actually think that's because Adrian Palicki can't. Is that her name? Is that who's playing her? I'm sorry, I'm underwhelmed.
But the reasons
off
for this,
topic, but
the
I'm
reasons for the costume changing shape, for violence codes, for homosexuality not being allowed to be portrayed in comics, is because the fear that if kids see it in a comic book, they're going to go do it.
Right.
So being overwhelmed with lust from Wonder Woman's boob-shaped boobs, they will run out and gang rape cheerleaders.
Now, are we just the current scapegoats, or...
Are we attracted to these edgy things that are on the?
Well, go farther back in time. It was said about literature. It was said about music. You know, our parents, that rock and roll music was supposed to drive our parents insane.
Right.
Maybe because geeks are partly surfing on these new cultural
memes,
things like comic books,
and
video games. We're surfing on the edge because they're newly discovered that it's freaking society out.
What corresponding interest could our parents access to try and understand Dungeons and Dragons? It doesn't exist.
Well, think about it. We all played. They all played.
They read
War.
Tolkien.
They played War. They played. They were LARPing. Everyone was LARPing way before Dungeons and Dragons came out. You were playing Army. You were playing Cowboys and Indians. You were doing all that as children anyway. And essentially, that's the same thing.
Well, you're not assigning
percentile
to it.
Usually not doing that at age 15 to your mid-20s.
No, but that's a basis of what that is.
Yes.
You're role-playing.
Yes.
You're role-playing. So
Cops
that's
and
the
robbers,
funny thing.
I would say chess. Because chess is actually designed to practice war. And I'd like to point out that since chess came around, we've had some pretty big wars. That's all I want to say.
Actually,
that's all I'm saying.
Actually, I would say Go, because Go, obviously. I mean, hello, how many Asian war, land wars?
And actually that promotes, black and white stereotyping.
The thing that I've observed is that it seems like an awful lot of the people who are blaming their children's violent behavior on Dungeons & Dragons or Doom rarely bring up the fact of how many guns they have in their household.
By the way, saying Dungeons & Dragons or Doom, you have completely dated yourself. I'm just letting you know that.
Well, I don't think there's another role-playing thing that's supplanted the D&D issue.
Is there? White Wolf, the vampire
Never
thing?
Hit that time, that type of
thing. And why is it okay now for 40-year-old moms to go see Twilight? Can you imagine Twilight doing this during our time period?
But I don't think it's necessarily the subject matter straight out. I mean, let's try to step out of our shoes just for one moment and slip in the slippers of mom and dad in the 70s.
Okay.
Their kid comes home from the store and says, hey, I have this game that we're playing, and it's a series of books. And the cover of the books are some crazy things. Some monsters. And there's some stuff that even I would
some
say
pentagrams.
Dragons, chainmail bikinis, pentagrams.
Magic.
Okay. Yeah.
Monster manual would freak some parents out, I think.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And even the player's handbook. Remember that?
The big demon sculpture on the cover,
a flaming, Okay. So, all right. So,
but no worse than the cover of Dante's Inferno.
Right. But then you go upstairs and your kids have been up there for 8 hours and they haven't come down to eat. and they've been drinking soda, and they're up there with these weird-shaped tokens that they're flopping on the floor that they have never seen before. They look like talismans, or maybe they're throwing bones. Who knows what the hell they're doing up there?
Very druidic.
Right. And then, and by the way, I do know this. When they come down and talk for the rest of the week, they're talking about these adventures that sound crazy.
Okay.
Because I know these people do get, they did, I, my friends and I, we would talk about it all the time, our adventures.
Yeah. I raised my evil zombie and my skeletons to fight the...
Yeah, and you'd even want, as a little kid, you thought maybe your parents might think it's kind of cool when you said something, oh yeah, we were playing yesterday and my character did this, and they're probably looking at you, who gives a crap?
Well, and you're also, if you look at the pages themselves, the sort of shorthand is so obtuse and like impossible to you know.
Yeah, it's like a different language.
It's a complete different language. I remember reading that language and going, I want to learn that language.
Yeah.
Like, what does D6 mean?
But here's where the weird thing comes is, where then do you take that and then start connecting it to the problems? Is it just because that you have bad parenting and you're looking for anything and that's the new thing that's happening upstairs in your kid's room? Or is there something else that is making these connections?
Well, mass media has got to be helpful on that one. You know, because it's always about, like, what should you be afraid of for your children this week?
Right. And well, that's definitely a process of the 80s and 90s. It's definitely. But why was that something that people latched on even in the 70s as looking for something to blame?
Right.
You know, for me, it's this viral mentality is that basically here's the disease. This kid shot these two people. And we don't look at the whole of the problem. We don't look at the whole of it's the parents, it's this, it's that, it's everything. It's got to be one thing.
Right. If we can trench coats. That's why kids are killing other kids in schools.
Exactly.
If
we can just excise this one thing, then everything would be perfectly
good
to be for that.
It's wishful thinking.
Right.
Well, a lot of this is about how we as human beings work, which is that we are always looking for meaning in things, and we tend. I mean, it's where most superstition comes from. It's like, you know, this happened, therefore this means this.
Right.
You know, if you look at the beginning of science, just at how awkward it was. This guy had a scientific experiment where he put some grain in a pot. Right. And he came back and there were rats in the pot. And he said the grain turned into rats.
Right.
Right.
You know, that was that was the meaning he took from that. So we're always looking for meaning, not necessarily in the most rigid, scientific, clearly thought out ways.
Right.
Now, the second thing is we're afraid of things we don't understand.
True.
And so when you take the two of those things.
One other thing before you move into that thought. Between those two, not only are we looking for meaning, we're looking for differences. It's not so much that we look for the greater context of everything. We look for what is different between A and B.
Right.
So if we look at kid who didn't shoot up everybody, and then we look at kid who did shoot up everybody, we're going to try and find the big obvious thing.
Yeah, they live in the same neighborhood. They dress the same. Oh, except for this one kid's playing this one game. Yeah.
Or
that's got
to
be
this music.
Yeah. Right. But, you know, the thing is, again, like we look at those things, people latch on to certain things more readily than others, rather than saying, okay, well, this kid didn't do it, but his parents are involved in his life. They've got a really nice, healthy connection. And, you know, this other kid did do it, but, like, you know, he's got a really fucked up home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some people will, rather than see that as the problem, they'll go, well, but he was playing Dungeons and Dragons. And, you know, that.
So how much is blinders and how much is the actual... the issue.
Yeah.
Now, to play devil's advocate, how much do you think any of these games, video games, anything, have an actual effect?
Well,
there a quantifiable effect?
Absolutely.
Well, okay, so recently Dungeons & Dragons was banned from prisons.
That was actually one of the two news stories I brought.
Oh, okay. Because
I have the quote
staff,
right here.
Okay.
Cooperative games can mimic the organization of gangs and lead to the actual development thereof. Therefore, like, the group of people role-playing the elves might go out and cut the guys playing dwarves.
Now, they actually might have some factual evidence behind this. I can't say, or it could just be the misunderstanding of the game. I'm not sure.
It sounds like a misunderstanding of the game.
Me too.
I could see them saying, we don't want you to have Dungeons & Dragons because you're prisoners, and we don't want you escaping this space. to go in some, you know, to go somewhere else for 8 hours a day.
Well, that's pretty high concept for prison wardens to really give a crap, I think.
Along those lines, they would be saying things like, we don't want you to work out. We don't
watch
want
TV.
Watch TV. Right. I mean, those were all escapes, too. This is someone coming down on a particular type of escape, which is what's interesting.
But I'm wondering where
like
they
a good
get...
thing. I mean, everything you can give them that you can take away as punishment in a prison sounds like a good idea to me. No gaming for you tonight. I won't cut them again.
They just take away your level 14.
No.
You know,
along those lines,
rip
I saw
it in half right in front of you.
Sir Reginald.
There was a fascinating experiment that they did where they actually let prisoners have cats in their cells. And they found that the prisoners became much better behaved because they suddenly had responsibility. If they didn't behave better, they knew that their cat would be taken away. Their cat would be affected by it. So, same thing. You understand the connection I'm making, right? Okay. Yeah. So.
No. Well, it'd be interesting. I'd actually say, okay, can I look at your character sheets and are you playing chaotic evil or are you playing lawful good?
That's a good question.
You know,
solitary confinement for all chaotic evil.
I actually do wonder if it would be possible for therapists to go into prisons and play Dungeon Master as a therapeutic. Therapeutic program.
But it's interesting because then you're asking people to play in imaginary scenarios where you are committing atrocious violence being played by people who have committed atrocious violence.
Well, first of all, you don't have to role play atrocious violence.
At all.
True.
Some of my favorite games had absolutely no violence.
True, true.
In fact, usually, in general, that's where role-playing games bog down is during the combat part, is when everyone's rolling dice and marking off things. Usually, the flow is better when we're out of that situation. The combat's usually where it stops
and
it
down. And if you question that fact, take a look around the room at when people are going to get chips, drinks, hit the bathroom. It's usually around combat time.
Yeah. But do us geeks automatically defend geeky things when we shouldn't be? I mean, are video games harming children?
Well, towards that end, here's the second story I brought, where a Russian news service does blame Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for influencing the deadly attack on Russia's busiest airport a few months ago.
Oh, wait a minute. That has a direct airport scene in it?
Because it's a terrorism attack in a Russian airport that had some of the same tactics used in the actual attack.
Ever. Well, there might be a correlation.
If there
but
are
that's
tactical
just,
correlations, then it's a valid.
But
thing
someone's
to
like, well, "Hey, hold let's on, get hold this on. Let's get to get. Hey, we all played Modern Warfare.
Great
let's go do
Don.
That.
Okay,
but,
hold on.
But let's stop for a second because how did Modern Warfare get developed?
What do you mean? Is it based off of true stories?
No. How did the game Modern? It was developed originally. These things were developed by the military. To help train people to
shooters.
Be better soldiers.
First-person shooters. FPS. Yes.
First-person shooters, right? There is a possible tenable connection to say that these people became more effective warriors because of it.
Well, might be true.
To say, however, that this motivated the attack is a different thing.
Well, they didn't say motivated. They say that these things are being used to help plan and get the idea of what needs to be done.
Absolutely. I'm sure that's
and
true.
And with the Call of Duty line specifically, the first few titles were all historical reenactment, so to speak, where, it didn't fit the tactics exactly at all. Mm-hmm. But the basic principles of what they did at each battle was being reflected in the different maps.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not making a correlation to this, these two, because I'm not going to commit the same crime that other people do. But I do know that teenage violence has gone down since the early 80s, and video game playing has gone up. Now, there may not be connection, but it is interesting that is, you know,
I would play devil's advocate.
However,
the
use of the word fag has remained the same.
Well, true.
Actually gone up significantly if you play online.
Only on Xbox Live.
I would make the counter argument, though, that yes, teen violence has gone down quantitatively, but the large events, the largest teen violence events, have exploded exponentially in body counts. For God's sakes, Colorado,
Columbine. Well, but you know
the Columbine shootings. I don't think there was ever a teen massacre that large. Before that, but there have been some that have come close, done by teams.
Okay, Columbine is a great example then. because Columbine had many sources of blame that people were trying to pocket. They were trying to say trench coats. They were trying to say death metal.
Doom.
They were trying to say doom. They were trying to say access to that level of firearms.
Movies, too.
Movies, yeah. They were watching the Faces of Death movies.
I think all of these, yes. The answer is yes to all of them.
Those are indicators that they're troubled kids.
Exactly.
They didn't make them trouble.
No, you're right. The answer is yes to all of them. They all had an effect. Was it an effect that in a normal kid could have handled?
But what I'm saying
absolutely.
Is it could be that those aren't influencing the kids necessarily. They're just indicators that the kids are troubled.
And I disagree. I think they are also indicators that the kids are troubled. But if, for example, you're watching Faces of Death, that's definitely going to desensitize you to the idea of someone getting killed, because actually people getting killed.
I see some paperwork on that. Just because you listen to Megadeth, I don't think there's any correlation out there that listening to metal is making kids more violent.
Well, here's the thing.
I have to admit, I imagine fewer Brahms fans are going out and blowing people away.
The question is not, does listening to Megadeth cause kids to go out and blow people away? Mm-hmm. The question is, does access to things like that cause troubled kids to be more
apt
to go out and do these type of things? Mm-hmm. And those are different things. But the truth of the matter is, I think that these are things that are not causative in normal kids to go out and engage in this type of behavior. And because of that, you cannot blame them as things that caused this to happen. They're not primary causes.
Well, hold on. I think both of you are right here in that the fact that you seek these out, may or may not be indicative of something, right? But when you have them all around you, yes, it may or may not have a causal relationship in that it does increase your ability or increase your...
So would you say then trench coats probably push them over the edge too? Or is that just as ridiculous to say?
What I would say...
Some things would be more causative than others.
Okay. Hold on.
So, but that's
slippery
slope.
Hold on. Right. I want to address that specifically.
Okay.
Trench coats. Yeah. Okay. What is it? What's a trench coat? However, it doesn't mean anything. It's not armor. It's not give you any special abilities. However, in the past, some people were able to dip themselves in freaking blue paint and then run naked into an army of Romans armed with short swords. If you have the right mindset and the right accoutrement, it may give you that extra bit of sort of nerve.
So they put on the costume of a killer.
You put on your mental armor with that outfit. And anyone who's gone to a singles bar and dressed appropriately knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, Aaron, on the other side, would you ascribe the fact that they had access through their parents to semi-automatic and full-automatic weapons as being a causative effect?
Well, obviously, if they couldn't get guns, they wouldn't be shooting people. But that's different than saying...
Some things are more causative than others.
Some things are more causative. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the guns did not cause the kids to kill anybody, because those guns would still be laying in their house if the kids didn't shoot somebody.
Right.
But if I have access to automatic weapons, mm-hmm. I guarantee no one's going to get shot.
But I didn't... Again, we're saying the same thing.
No, you're saying the guns are causing the kids to do it. Video games are causing the kids
to... Actually, he's saying that they're allowing them.
I'm saying that...
Obviously, having guns is allowing people to shoot people with them. Obviously,
Okay, I think that having access to certain things mm-hmm. when you are mentally deranged is going to make you a lot more likely to go out and kill people.
Yeah, if you're mentally deranged and you have access to guns, you are more likely to shoot people with guns than when you don't have access to guns. I agree with you.
Okay, hold on. Wait. BS in psychology here. Fear my mighty power. When I graduated my degree, it is a psychological fact that a gun present at a location, even if it is not on display, simply the knowledge that a gun is present increases the likelihood for any sort of physical violence.
Okay, so you would apply that to video games, comic books, or anything else that might be...
Those aren't guns. I'm saying a physical gun in a location increases the chance of violence occurring, even if it doesn't involve the gun.
I would say purely because a gun lends power to an individual.
But let's bring it back to the topic.
But, right, but these, yeah, but that's true to a topic. Do these individual things. Does having gone out and played Halo over and over again and taking pride every single day in headshotting people.
I'll tell you some people who do think it contributes. Video game producers.
Okay.
A lot of these companies, like the group that made Doom.
This is inside information, people.
Actually, I think this is public info, but you can probably go online and find this out. All of these designers at earlier levels produced levels that were their offices, that were the buildings that they worked in.
Okay.
And in every situation, they always removed those levels from the game, and they were never released because it made them uncomfortable having that information out. And knowing that this could be used for a disgruntled employee who wants to return back to the offices of gray matter.
It will be interesting to see whether or not if there's a lawsuit over the airport in Russia, whether or not somebody would use that information as a reference point.
Personally, I imagine it's going to be hard to make that stand up in court.
But remember, this same arguments were done by comic books. And if we say these days that if you read too many comic books, you go on a gun rampage, we would say it's ridiculous because there's been enough time to realize that that's bullshit.
Right, but
now there's a new thing, video games, and we're still kind of in the quagmire of that.
I think there's a huge I think we would all, for the most part, say that reading comics, 99.99% of comics aren't going to push you to do something like that because they're just not at that level. Okay. They're not encouraging that. But I think that there's a difference between that and video games, because video games are acting out violence. And there is actually one of these murder rampage cases. They literally trained with the games before they went out and did it. They practiced killing people before they went out and killed them.
I'm not sure. I don't know that one, but
yeah, I don't remember which one it was.
Like,
but
I can imagine if you play light gun games, you're a better shot.
Exactly. You also know the strategy. You know the strategy what you're going to do.
I can imagine maybe you might be you've been playing.
What it does do without question is it releases the hesitation time it takes for you to pull the trigger.
True. Right. The guy talked about, he walked in, he literally went bang, 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 across the room,
Okay.
One shot for each person because he had practiced. Now, so again, does that mean that the video game is responsible for his behavior? I don't think that there's a strong causative correlation. Otherwise, we would see this happening everywhere. Everyone plays video games.
Well, has any of you had, being all GTA 4 players, have you ever gone out and after having played Grand Theft Auto,
hired a prostitute and killed her?
Yes. No. Had a moment where driving after playing GTA 4.
You were a little more aggressive than you should have been.
Was a little more aggressive. Yeah. I have had that response.
After I played Grand Theft Auto, I remember driving out and I had the fucking cars in front of me. I'll just go, wait, I can't do that.
Exactly. And I literally had that edited moment of wanting to just ram the car in front of me.
Oh, I've had that, but it had nothing to do with video games. Now, I have learned things about driving, though. Like I know to, accelerate out of the turn and not break into the turn. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But the thing I think, the elephant in the room that hasn't quite been discussed yet is the fact that the correlation between video games and violence is really clear. They're entertainment. And we tend to drift towards entertainment that satisfies certain things we want.
True.
So it's not that video games are making you violent. Maybe it's that violent people like violent video games.
Well,
and they go in that direction. That just makes more sense than any of this.
And there's the counter argument, which I think is actually a stronger argument, is what you were talking about, which is that since video games have shown up, violence has gone down because it allows us to take these instincts and channel them and experience things. I'm angry. I'm aggressive. Well, okay. I go on. I played the video games. When I'm done, I've gotten that out of me.
Well, does it solve the? Well, that's what I want to know. Does that catharsis actually solve anything, though? I mean, when you're actually faced then with a physical conflict, do you then actually go into the conflict, or do you retreat from the conflict?
Well, let's flip this from violence, which is something that none of us are necessarily terribly knowledgeable about, and shift into an extremely uncomfortable area for everybody.
Sex.
Let's talk about porn for a sec. You know, I don't think that's if you're saying that, I think, you know, more violence makes you more like viewing more violence makes you more violent. Does viewing more porn make you more likely to rape? Studies seem to say no.
But rape. I would say seeing more porn makes you more likely to orgasm.
I would agree. Which makes you less likely to rape.
Right. You know? Exactly. So I mean
now I'm uncomfortable.
But I mean, now however we're talking about porn. There is a type of porn that is rape porn.
Yeah.
And I would say that makes me very uncomfortable, the concept of that.
And being a father of a daughter and knowing the level of porn that is out there, I will say that the level because what you see is what you perceive in certain ways as societally acceptable, especially if you have not had somebody coming down and going, You know, my dad, when he first, you know, saw me, reading porn and like that, said, look, that stuff is on some level acceptable and on some level a lie. And he made a very distinct point about saying that, about this is a lie. But when you're first experiencing that, you're not thinking it's a lie. And we know now, I mean, the things that I watch young women doing and thinking, oh, this is okay, and this is stuff that I need to be able to do because that's what you do to get boys, that worries the shit out of me.
In fact, there have been some really interesting articles that have come out recently about dysfunctions that have come out specifically because of porn, because of the accessibility of porn, because of the non-reality of porn, and because of how that becomes the new reality.
Right.
So, you know, because part of porn, in order to show that someone orgasms, cum shots have become the thing. You know, this is definitely going to be an S. Yes.
Well,
let's not blame geeks.
But some of these articles have talked about how for a lot of people it's become a new sexual thing because that's what they experience on a regular basis in off the internet.
Right.
I mean, I'm just
confused. I don't understand what you said.
Okay.
Instead of aiming regular for
a new generation.
Uh-huh.
Something that it was only normal in porn has become a normal part of their sex life. Cum shots.
Oh, pulling out.
Orgasming on someone's face.
That's become
ejaculating
would
on
somebody apologize
ejaculating
to
on someone's
mom.
Face.
Sorry, Carla. Sorry.
Maybe we should put out two versions of this where we just cut off the discussion at
no,
the
I just
part.
Think I think we just got to go right. beep, beep, beep,
we've
beep,
gone
beep,
off
beep,
topic
beep.
And we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, anybody got a good closer for
one more thing though, just and that there are a lot of apparently there's a whole level of dysfunction in men who are having trouble actually having orgasms with regular sex. Because their concepts of what sex are so divorced from what real sex is.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, I just read that. I thought it was really fascinating.
Interesting.
You know, this, yeah.
So I don't
I'm
think
curious
we've,
how epidemic that is, though.
I don't think it's epidemic, but I do think it's a new trend or new development. It's probably minuscule.
I'd imagine there were a lot of guys who had that issue who just had a lot of sex. So maybe all this porn is just sort of a simulation of having a lot of sex.
Maybe. I don't know.
Which just becomes a natural evolution of sexuality.
Well,
I guess.
Since we have come up with absolutely no conclusions, why don't you guys, if you're interested, go to our forums.
I have one thought.
Okay.
I just want to say.
Peter's not done. Hang on.
The question is, do geeks destroy the world?
Okay.
Okay. And I want to point out that probably the first person to pick up a club to beat the guy who was bigger and stronger than him was a geek. And when that became normal, the first person to figure out how to do a crossbow to shoot the guy who was bigger and stronger with the club was probably a geek. And if you follow that trajectory down through guns, through nuclear weapons, I mean, I'm just going to say geeks are clearly destroying the world.
Okay.
Everything evil in this world would not exist had there not been a geek.
On that note, go to our forums if you want to weigh in at www.geekson.com.
Did any of you write some
limerick? I would challenge that also it's probably geeks that gave us a lot of the higher inventions of man.
Like comic books.
Or religion.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is destroying the world.
Oh, valid.
All right, did anybody do any?
Yeah, the combination, a Quaker invented the Gatling gun. I mean, that's all you know.
Wow, it's just a world gone mad.
Did anybody try writing any limericks about this?
So we have limericks that are expressing this idea, right?
I had a hard time with this.
How would you quantify this limerick? Don, how would you quantify it?
Write several limericks explaining or defending your position on how certain geekly subjects are or are not destroying the world.
Sounds good. All right, Aaron, what you got? Come on, you said this was terrible.
I've actually found very difficult.
Okay,
for some reason. You say that God hates RPGs. Devil worship and sacrifice come from these. But isn't it true, if it was your children that you really knew, creative thinking, intelligence, their Lord doth please?
Pretty good.
That's deep. Biblical limerick.
It's very deep. Video games are the enemy, he shouted. Holding GTA 4 high, he pouted. He clamored and yelled, if they play, it will make your kids gay. Which made it ironic the day he was outed.
Though games are oft treated with libel, blamed on turning your children all tribal, it still seems to me that each murder spree is more often inspired by the Bible.
All right.
Oh, wait, we're like church hating here.
And continuing that theme.
Oh, no.
Jane was just a novice magic user, condemned with words that hurt and confused her. She thought it strange and not nice to point fingers for rolling dice while ignoring the priest who abused her.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, now we have to apologize for our anti-church.
All hate mail should be directed to, well, really all of us this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can write us at Aaron, Matt, Peter, or Don at geekson.com, or just geeks at geekson.com.
And we're trying to get our website squared away.
Yes, our website is horrifically out of date. We're aware of that, but none of us have had the time to do anything with
it. Exactly. I'm building a new one. It'll
be stronger, faster, better.
All right, but also there will be upcoming soon will be the 2010 Geeky Awards.
Yeah, we should do that next,
which will be our next episode.
Yep.
So get thee to our forums and do some voting.
And we have our lovely friends over at Etsy who did the fish.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the fish with sci-fi in it that looks like a Flash Gordon ray gun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
They have offered 4 of those to any of our listeners, and we just got to come up with a nice little game or something like that that our listeners can solve, and then we will send them the swag.
So why don't we have a limerick competition on our Geeks on Facebook page?
A limerick competition on our Geeks on Facebook page?
That sounds great. And the 4 of us will judge. Lisa Lasik will be our tiebreaker.
Okay.
And we will choose our favorite 4 limericks dealing with geeky things not killing the world.
Or killing the world.
Take your position.
All right.
And that's Geeks on Podcast is the name of
our Facebook page.
Our Facebook
Geeks
page.
On Podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
Other than that, we'll probably try and put up a link at www.geekson.com.
Yep.
Our forums there, which are still hopping and happening.
Yes.
With some lovely people on there.
Excellent.
All right. Let's go get sucker punched.
Yay!
Bye.
Geek it up.